I started my own business, and I called it Bomark Services. Well, I started out doing warranty work on car radios for the various dealers in Casper and surrounding areas. That worked out really fine. I decided, well, when I was working at A&E, we had a bunch of stuff coming in for repair, and we had no schematics on it or any kind of manuals, documentation on it. And in order to fix something, it's really handy if you have some kind of a schematic so you know what the hell you're doing. I decided to take on, as well as repairing car radios for the dealers, to take on like stereos and home radios and home car stereos. And in order to do that, again, some of the stuff that came in, I would
reverse
engineer and draw. I started my business in 76. In 1984, I decided to go public with prints because by that time, I was drawing everything that I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, well, maybe people out there would benefit.
Pay for your service.
Would pay for my service. And I found out that there were several different reasons why they wanted this stuff. One of them was patent violations. GE got a hold of me. They had 3 or 4 divisions in their patent division because they got tons of patents out there. And they wanted to know if anybody was violating their patents. And one of these divisions was video games. What they would do is they would go to Korea, Taiwan, wherever, and they would pick up these video games 2 or 3 years before they were released over here, send them to me. I would tear them down, reverse engineer them, get prints, which they could go through to see if any of their patents were being violated. That was kind of a fun thing. In this drawing thing, GE was one of our regulars, and then I got one of my friends went to Keyport, Washington, which is the big naval base, and they do really fancy stuff like the black helicopters mm-hmm. and Russian signature detections, mm-hmm. torpedoes, fancy stuff. It's called the Nuclear Undersea Warfare Center.
Mm-hmm.
I did work for that. And then NASA, they got a hold of me, and they had in their backpacks, if you've seen EVAs of the mm-hmm. astronauts, they have yeah. a big white backpack on. Well, there's a bunch of stuff in there, but one of the things is a medical device which monitors their breathing, their heart rate
yeah.
their oxygen,
blood pressure,
and it's got another little circuit in there that they can shock them with. It's a defibrillator in case mm-hmm. their heart flutters. This was all in this backpack in a small little box, which they could read all this stuff out. Well, Philips originally made these things, and Philips quit making them, and they would not give NASA documentation on them. And they gave them to another company, and they decided that they would like to repair these. So they sent me these boards. These things were several thousand parts on a very small board, very dense. And by this time, I was really good at drawing, so I would draw these up and make them big D-size sheets of these, exclusive, of course. I couldn't put mm-hmm. these in the catalog. Yeah. I had a catalog, by the way, with 21 different catalogs with over 6,000 different items that I'd drawn for sale for the public, which I'd advertise in electronic magazines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And on the internet. I had a site on the internet for several years. That's when I retired, was after I got done with the NASA job. But
what's Warren W. Cook doing today?
I'm doing nothing, and I'm bored. I still draw a little bit. Mostly for my own pleasure, but once in a while we'll draw for somebody. I have some old regulars and still send stuff in. And
yeah. You know, I look at your collections of records and antiques and all of the stuff when did that start?
Records, I started collecting with Hound Dog in 1957.
Yeah.
That was my first record. It eventually wound up into what I have now. I stopped collecting records totally in the middle of 1983.
The music wasn't that good anyway.
I totally lost interest in them, and I don't know why.
What haven't I asked you that I probably should have? And have you got any final comments about Katie and about your time in broadcasting and life?
The one thing that I regret about Katie, and I really do, is I was not a good DJ. There's two reasons why I think I was not a good DJ, and that's because Fat Daddy kept telling all of us, in fact, listen to Coma, listen to other stations, see what they're doing, and then improvise on that. I never did that. I never listened to anything. And the second thing was the telephone. The telephone ruined me. I had all these fans, these little girls, and these fans would call, and like a stupid thing, I would sit there all night long and talk to them instead of paying attention to what I was doing. I didn't make a lot of mistakes on the air doing that, but looking back on it, you know, I was not
focused. Your concentration.
I was not focused.
Well, I thank you for the time and for all the memories that I've gotten from you as far as Katie is concerned.
And, I did like Katie. I loved that job. And yeah. I think Katie was a great radio station. They interacted with the public, and I was really sorry to see them go down. About as sorry to see that as I was when KSPR changed their call letters, because KSPR is Casper.
Yeah.
And Katie was Katie.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Warren.
You
I
bet.
Appreciate it.
You bet, Dave.